Christmas was like that. Great things promised by the angels, great things happened on the day, but all those promises not being delivered on. I have to remind you of some of those things from Christmas. So here's the angel talking to Mary, and she said this. He'll be great and be called Son of the Most High. This is no ordinary baby, Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So all God's people, this is the king they've been looking for. And he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. He's going to be king forever. And the Holy One will be born, be called the Son of God. So this is no ordinary person. What about the angels to the shepherds? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord, a great promise of the kind of king, the kind of Savior he's going to be. It's fantastic. At the end of the Christmas story, day 25 in your Advent calendar, we have a baby.
Thank you.
And it's just a baby. It doesn't look like all those promises have come true because it's a baby. And babies, they're very cute and they're lovely, but they all kind of look a bit alike, don't they? And they all do the same kind of things, which are very few. And, well, it doesn't look like it's all happened. And that's thankfully why Luke gives us his story at the end of chapter 2 about Jesus when he was 12 years old. And like lining up to that kind of line of growth there, who were going to jump from one end of the line to the other to see him when he was 12. And we're going to have that reading read out to us now from Luke chapter 2. And as it's being read, I want you to listen out. Do these words show that the baby in the manger has grown into the person of promise? So the words going to appear on the screen behind us as they're read out to us. Thank you, Charlotte. One more.
Everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. They began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to go looking for him. After 3 days, they were found in the temple. He was found in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at the understanding of his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I had been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in all favour of God and man.
Well, thank you. So you heard that story about Jesus' parents looking for him. Lots of people have been from Nazareth. It's a long way from Jerusalem. They'd walked, lots of families from the village walked up to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. There had been food. There had been celebration, a bit like Christmas, you might say. And they're all feeling really good about having celebrated the Passover meal together and worshipped at the temple. And they're walking back home, lots of families, down the road there. And there's work out at the end of the first day that Jesus wasn't hanging out with his mates, the one end of the group. Actually, he was nowhere to be found. And they went looking for him, like all parents do. And it took them 3 days of looking in Jerusalem to find Jesus. Now to help us with this whole finding thing, I'd like us to play a game. Over to AJ.
Children, this is you again. So, if you come and join me here, and you'll see why in a moment. Come and join me here. Let's come and take a load off. Now, we're going to play a game called hide and seek.
Yes.
Don't get too excited, because You guys aren't doing the hiding, you're doing the seeking. So, there are four people hidden, and here are the clues. One of them will be serving tea and coffee. And so they are hiding in the place where there's tea and coffee. One of them has been speaking, and so is hiding in the place where people usually speak. Don't look yet. One person is doing the PA, which kind of happens upstairs. And one person has been welcoming on the door, and so might be hiding near the door. What you need to do is, you need to go around in fours, groups of four. Wait a minute. They are wearing a Santa hat to help you. When you find them, you need to bring them to me, and you cannot run. Just need to walk. Off you go. See who you can find. See who you can find. Go and have a look. See who you can find. We found one. We found two. Oh, the third one's hiding very well. Think we're finding three. And I think we found four. So if you want to bring them to the front, our hide and seek game, I think, has been a success with no damage. Yeah, it's okay. Ross can come down. Keep coming down, keep coming down. And whilst Ross is coming down, can I just present to you a very special Santa hat? Richard's very good to put this on. Do you like that? Give them all a round of applause for taking part and helping. Children, you want to go and take a seat? That'd be great. We're done. Thank you, guys. Do take a seat. That's going to keep singing for a little while, Richard. It's going to keep singing for a little while.
Regular basis, or have done. Hide and seek's a great game. It is an awful lot easier with the clues that AJ gave you. Once you knew what the person did, it was a lot easier to go and find them. Once you know what they do, you can get the general area. Well, I hope that game's going to help us as we think about Jesus' parents finding him. I just want to say there's three things we can see from this incident where they find him in the temple. Three things. The first thing they see is what Jesus says when his parents actually find him. So when they find him, Jesus is surprised that they had to look for him, that it wasn't obvious where they were. So he said this to them. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" It should have been obvious. He's not being rude here to his parents. It's something they should have known. They heard the promises of Christmas. They should have known. And the big news is those last three words he says, "my father's house." He's in the temple, so he's calling God's temple, God's house, his father's house. He's saying, "God is my father." And no one else that day would have ever dared say anything like that. That would have just been way out there and arrogant and blasphemous. Terrible thing to say. But he's able to say it. As a 12-year-old boy sitting there well aware of who he is. He is exactly who the angels said he would be. He is God's son. "Why were you searching for me?" You should not have to search. You should come straight from the group of people you were in, right to the temple. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" So Jesus calls God his father. Next slide, please. And so Jesus must be the son of God. That promise to Mary and the promise the angels made didn't disappoint. It's exactly who he said he was. And since Jesus is surprised at his parents, it's obvious Jesus' parents aren't coaching him towards this. It's not that they're encouraging him. Your parents may say to you kids, oh, keep practicing that violin. One day you may be a concert violinist. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Keep doing that maths homework. One day you may grow up to be a maths teacher. Or someone exciting like that. And keep practicing and you might become this. That's what parents do, is we want to encourage our children towards great things. But in this case, it's obvious Jesus' parents haven't been doing that because they're surprised. Jesus knows he's the Son of God and he's acting exactly like it. And if they'd understood, they'd have gone straight to the temple. Like our game hide and seek, if you know what the person's doing, you know who they are, you know where to look. So Jesus calls God his Father, and so Jesus must be the Son of God. And was that what was promised at the first Christmas? Absolutely. Yes, it was. Tick. Okay, yes, Christmas work. I thought we needed something more exciting. We need a fist pump. Yes. I went inside, like to score a goal. Okay, kids, give me a fist pump. Yes. Oh, there's a few there. Okay. Not scored many goals recently. I don't know. So yes, Christmas work. You can see Jesus in the temple there, and he knows he's the Son of God. The second thing, as in the temple, what is he doing? Well, he's talking to people who should have known all about God, and he's telling them about God. So, Jesus is doing the work of the Messiah. So, next slide, please. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus is 12, but he's amazing the experts. So tomorrow I'm back in school. If a year 7, so 12-year-old pupil, came into the maths office, where all the maths teachers were sitting there, and started talking to us about maths, and said things that we didn't know. Said things we hadn't thought of before. And we started learning stuff from them. We would be absolutely astounded. You can imagine how amazing that would be, because we've all studied maths. We've worked hard at it, just like these people in the temple had worked hard. They'd read God's scriptures. They'd talked about it, discussed it, worked really hard at it. But here's Jesus, 12 years old, walking in. He knows God like nobody else because he's the Son of God. I bet you, if I could ask you a question about your parents that only you would know the answers to, because you know them best. You see them all the time. And likewise, Jesus is the one person who really knew God. He'd been with God since the beginning of eternity. He was God. And he'd never done anything to spoil his friendship with God. That's sin. It's the wrongness of our hearts before God, our rejection of him, spoil our picture of who he is. But Jesus, the Son of God, has no sin. So Jesus could do the work of the Messiah, the one sent to bring people back to God, to rule them. And he would one day, when he became an adult, die on the cross to deal with that problem of sin. But for now, he was telling them all about the holy and righteous God, how that God loved them, but how that God wouldn't tolerate sin. So he's doing the work of the Messiah. So yet, was that was promised at the first Christmas? Yes, it was. Thank you. So, another fist pump. Yes, Christmas works. Excellent. And the third thing we see here is something actually slightly sad, because there are people who don't understand who he is. We talked about Mary and Joseph, but there are other people as well. But even his earthly mum and dad didn't quite understand. So why were you searching for me, he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? And he said these words, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. When he explains, they didn't understand. And they had heard the promises of that first Christmas. They were been there. They were in the stable. They'd seen the wise men and the shepherds, and they'd seen angels. And they still didn't quite understand. In fact, as Luke writes his story of Jesus, time and time again, there are people who don't quite understand what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God and the Messiah. Even his closest friends, when he's grown up, he turns to them, explains what the Messiah must do. He must die on the cross so people can be forgiven. And they say, no, that's not right. They don't understand who he is. And the same thing is true today. People can think all sorts of wrong things about Jesus, or they may know nothing about him at all. But unless they know he's the Son of God and the Messiah, the one the angels spoke about at Christmas, then they won't know God, and their sin problem can't be dealt with. Jesus is the one who can bring them to God. So actually, I think what we need to do is keep Christmas all year round. So one more slide, I've lagged behind. We actually need to keep Christmas all year round. Not the outward bits. It would be nice to have presents every day, but I think we eventually get sick of that. There's only so much turkey and Brussels sprouts you can actually eat. I'm not suggesting we do all those outward bits, the trimmings of Christmas, but we do need to keep remembering that God sent his son into the world to be our Messiah, our rescuer and king. He's the one we need. Without him, we can't know God. Without him, we can't have our sin problem dealt with. And other people need to do that too. So we can pray for them. And we can invite them to church and places where the Bible will be explained, they can see who he really is. So although it's time to take the decorations down, some of you may have already done that, some of you may be planning to do that this afternoon. It is time to take the decorations down. It's time to go back to eating normal food again. And it's even time to go back to school. We can keep celebrating. I want to encourage us all to keep celebrating Christmas, because Christmas worked 100%. That baby grew up, and when he was 12 years old, he knew that he had to be in his father's house. How about AJ? Thanks.
Thanks very much. We're going to respond by singing a prayer, almost.